Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm your host, Ray Graff. Well, let's go back a ways. Back in the day, foraging was a necessary means of survival. Today, it's an increasingly popular culinary trend. Today, you can find wild food and edibles in your local fields, neighborhood, even in your own backyard, and they can make for some delicious meals. Foraging isn't easy, though. You have to go into it knowing what you're looking for and how to harvest and cook it. Fortunately, we have some experts in the studio here who can answer your questions about foraging. Jim Gopp is here. He's been on the show once or twice, I guess, now. So good to have you back. Also, Stephen Browning of Prairie Whale in Great Barrington and Earhart Wendt of the Williamsville Inn in West Stockbridge. They're all here, and they all both forage and incorporate foraged food into their cooking. Ever wanted to try this? Have you already tried it? Give us a call. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Again, that's 1-800-348-2551. Before we meet our guests, I'd like to introduce you to Megan Finnegan, who is here. Now, Megan, we have a fun drive coming up on Monday.
You don't say, Ray.
We do. And I know you're as excited about it as I am. And it's a million-dollar fun drive.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we've done in the last month or so is this lockbox.
Oh, yes.
At the website, WAMC.org. And everything raised in the lockbox over the past month and up until Monday morning at 6 when the fun drive starts counts. We put it all in the kitty.
Right.
And where are we up to now?
Well, we've made it all the way to $355,402.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Now, the dangerous part of this is, as I understand it, and I'm not up on everything, but there is a challenge, basically, on the two challenges on the table that add up to $17,000.
Right.
And that we have to hit the 375 mark before the drive, right?
Right, right.
So, let's see. Do the math.
We've got $19,598 to go.
Okay. And how can people kick into the lockbox?
Well, everybody that's been kicking in today, we got a lot of mail, but you can go to WAMC.org.
Yep.
And you can pledge online. It's super easy. And it's immediate. You can actually see the little thermometer jump up. You could be the one that makes it 375.
Okay, so we have a thermometer on the website. It's real time when
real
you pledge online.
Yep, all
and
weekend.
There are all sorts of incentives to do that, just like we do in the fun drive.
Right, right. Lots of great stuff. You can get all the WAMC swag you want, and we've got the beautiful water bottle that you can get, the personalized water bottle with the logo. And
stainless steel.
Right. You can have your name put on it, your loved one's name, your...
Or somebody you don't like.
Right.
Right.
Anything you want.
Fantastic. So we're at 355. We got to make 375 by Monday morning at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Are you coming in for the fun drive?
You know, I was kind of thinking I might not, but I don't know. Maybe it'll be fun.
Take a few days.
Yeah, maybe it'll be fun.
We'll see you in the middle of the week. Megan Finnegan, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. It is a Food Friday, and we are joined by foragers par excellence. Jim Gopp is here, Stephen Browning, and Earhart Wendt. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Jim, you have been here before. And you're an expert. You brought, what did you bring?
Well, I brought a few things. The other day I was clearing some land, and as I was leaving, I found this huge, actually two huge pheasant back mushrooms. They call it a pheasant back because, you know, it sort of looks like the back of a pheasant.
It sure does. It looks like the back of a triceratops.
Yeah, it's pretty serious.
Yeah.
So you couldn't really miss it when I went by, so I couldn't help but stop. So they have that. I have a little bit of a dip here, which is made from Blue Hill Farm milk. I made a ricotta, and there's this terribly invasive weed called garlic mustard, which is like a huge threat to biodiversity. So, and it's a very, very good weed. It's very healthy for you.
Okay.
So I harvested it and basically made a pesto out of it with some nice raw almonds and folded that in there. Along with that is a flatbread with some sumac that I harvested last year. It's that stuff you see growing on the side of the highway, those red cones.
Isn't there poison sumac
there
as
is,
well?
Yeah, it's more of a shrub, the poison one.
Okay, this is not the poison kind?
Right.
Are you sure?
Well, yeah. We'll find out, Ray. I'll let you try
that's
today.
That's terrific. That's what I'm always looking for, is a little adventure here on a Friday.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I mean, you pick a mushroom.
Yeah.
And Stephen Browning of Prairie Whale, we were talking about mushrooms in the break. And if you're new to foraging, do you want to pick any particular mushroom and just chomp on it?
I would say definitely not.
Let's turn his microphone on here. No, not working? No, it's not working.
I would say definitely not.
No?
Yeah. You want to know what you're doing for sure.
Okay.
And well,
how do you know?
I would say the way I got to know is being a chef and seeing the product a lot and then going out and being like, oh, yeah, that's that, and really really checking my sources and making sure I checked a few sources to make sure it was what it was.
You make sure your sources are still alive.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's always a good start. What did you bring today? Anything?
I brought some nettle pesto.
Okay.
I picked some nettles this morning and made that. And that's like the stinging nettle. So it's... stings you badly unless you cook it.
Okay, all right. It's like eating a blowfish.
Yeah,
all right. Do
much,
we really
yeah.
want to risk this? Okay, so. Fine. And Earhart Wendt of Williamsville Inn. Nice to have you here as well, sir.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, now the accent. I'm guessing New Jersey.
a little bit more east.
A little east of Jersey. Yeah. Well, nice to have you here. Did you bring any goodies?
I brought some dried mushrooms from last year, like black trumpets, morels. I brought fresh rem butter and pickled chanterelles also from last year, because the chanterelles in our area, they're not out yet, but they're coming soon, hopefully.
So ramp butter, ramps, there's a mania about ramps.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
who like ramps
yes.
really like ramps.
Yes, that's correct. But my experience is every ram picker in the States goes with a pitchfork and digs them up. Mm. And that is one thing what I don't like to do. I like to cut them above ground and leave the onion in the ground. Maybe later you can go, and if you want to pickle the onion, then you can go with a pitchfork and dig some up. But in my opinion, people do that way too much here.
Why?
And because the chefs in our area or in the States, I don't know, the ramp for them, in their opinion, is only worth with the onion on. And it's truly a big mistake. Yeah. And everyone talks about sustainable. And, you know, so many people go with pitchforks and sometimes they will disappear.
So if you leave the onion in the ground, it'll grow back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the onion stays in. So, and it comes back next year.
Ah.
Yeah. There's also coming a flower head in. And there are tiny little seeds in. They look like onion seeds or chive seeds, mm-hmm. similar to that. And you could even collect that and spread them on areas out where you maybe want to produce rams. That is what I did very often. And in Germany, I never saw that somebody could go with the pitchfork. That would be even not allowed.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. there are. I mean, it's not a scarce commodity, but it's not all that common.
Right.
The ramps in particular, and people tend to over-pick them, right? Yeah. Is that the problem here?
Yeah, they see money signs with it because it's been so popular for the past, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years. The more and more people get turned on to it and they see it. I've been in restaurants before and people come in with just ripped it out of the ground. The roots are still intact, big clumps of dirt, and they say, you know, how much can I get for
this? Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
It's like prospecting?
Yeah, absolutely.
How much are they worth?
Earlier on in the season, they're worth more. Usually sometimes
$15 a pound.
Exactly. You're kidding me.
Yeah.
But it must take a lot of ramps to make a pound.
No, if you pick them with the onions on, they're much more heavy, and they leave the dirt on. They don't wash them, so that adds too. So it's pretty easy.
So that there's a monetary reason that people pull them entirely out of the ground. Let's see if your microphone's working now. It is.
Yes,
oh, by golly! All right, so you don't have to be like
again.
John and Paul in the Beatles sharing a microphone. Good, that's excellent. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We talk foraging today, which we have done before, and we're joined by Jim Gopp, Stephen Browning, and Earhart Wendt. And Earhart, when did you come to the States?
20 years ago.
And
But I worked first in California as a chef, head chef at a French restaurant. And then I moved to the East Coast because in California, in Southern California, they're growing now mushrooms.
Mm.
And that was very bad for me because I collect mushrooms since I'm a little kid. My grandparents took me mushroom picking and my mother took me and so on and on. And I missed that a lot in California. So I lived there 3.5 years and then I came to the Gloucester area. And so that was an El Dorado for me and for mushrooms.
Mm. So is foraging much more popular in Europe?
I would say so, and special probably will, I would say in France more, in Germany a lot, and in the eastern states. So like the Russians, Polish people, they collect way more as we probably even could imagine.
And have you guys seen in general a trend in this part of the country where it's just getting more and more popular?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's huge. It's
There are also quite a lot of books out about foraging, and Yeah, my own experience is also, if I go out, sometimes I see people, they're curious what I'm doing, what I'm finding, I explain, mm-hmm. and so they appreciate that.
Have you had bad experiences picking the wrong things and eating them?
Never.
Really?
Never. I like, in Germany, I picked around 40 different kinds of mushrooms. And if I had a mushroom, I was not very sure. I tried it first by myself, and I never got sick on.
Really?
So,
lucky.
So, and wow. You should only do it. You can only sell it to customers if you're pretty sure that is safe. So you need to make sure that. Otherwise, you can close your restaurant.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, I mean, you could become very ill if you pick the wrong things.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. To answer, you had a question earlier about learning about different things. I always found, personally, there's so many different mushrooms, and there's very bad mushrooms.
Yes.
I would never go. I only pick the ones that I know, like chanterelles, morels, things like that, the pheasant back. I find it much easier to go out with someone like, say, Earhart, who does this all the time.
Yeah. You know? I think that's probably wise, especially with mushrooms and things like that. All right, we'll take a break. It is Vox Pop. It is a Food Friday. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. And we will be back very shortly with more of your calls.
Support for WAMC comes from Stories Nursery, Freehold, New York. Featuring an assortment of plants, flowers, trees, shrubs, and garden supplies, Monday through Sunday, 8 to 5, a gardener's destination, storiesnursery.com. Kent Hicks Construction, West Chesterfield, Massachusetts, specializing in energy-efficient, net-zero, passive house, home building, deep energy retrofits, and historical restorations, serving Western Massachusetts, kenthicksconstruction.com. Curran Compliance Services, Greenwich, New York, compliance and regulatory consultants for life insurance and annuity carriers and their distribution partners, currancompliance.com. Taft Farms, Great Barrington, 200-acre family farm, harvesting asparagus, rhubarb, and seasonal vegetables, and offering homegrown flowers, bedding plants, and heirloom vegetable plants for your home garden. Open 7 days, taftfarms.com. And Edward Garbosik, Certified Financial Planner, serving all of Western Massachusetts, providing customized financial retirement strategies for those approaching or in retirement. Ed@havocandwealthstrategies.com.
Always the exciting part of the foraging programs is when I look at a plate of food, I have no idea what it is, and we're going to eat some. And whenever we say eating food here on the program, my producer magically appears, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. And all right, so Jim and Stephen and Earhart, what are we about to dine upon?
All right, so it looks like the first thing right by your left thumb is Steve's poached Japanese knotweed.
Wow.
So it's in the family of the rhubarb. So it has a sort of like sweet and sour feel to it. But it's incredibly invasive. It was brought over originally as a ornamental from Japan. And it's beautiful. The only problem is once you have it, it just completely takes over. It's one of
what
those.
What does it look like?
It looks like bamboo. I think Steve has a sample here. You'll see it.
Show me, because I think I have these in my backyard, and we cannot get rid of them.
Yes.
Yeah. You probably do, for
oh,
sure.
Oh, good heavens.
That's
those rotten things. They're tasty, though, by golly. Well
bad,
done.
Huh?
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
Good. They are good.
So, and then
note
there's
to self,
there's
cook
another,
them.
Yeah, there you go. And there's another variation of that. The small dice thing there is actually candied knotweed.
Really?
Yeah. So
right.
It's like,
oh,
a little, like a little sweetener. Got a little some citrus in there. So.
Oh.
It's a nice little something little pick.
You
me
had
up.
Me a candy.
There you go.
That's good.
I figured.
Very good.
I figured you had a sweet tooth.
Yeah, man.
That's
how could
good.
You tell?
That's right.
The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We'll get to your calls in a minute. Now, there's this green. This is pesto that you made, right?
Yeah, so that's a, let's see, it's a homemade ricotta dip with garlic mustard.
Nice.
So that's, I mean, you can use it just like you would any other green.
Well, am I the only one eating here? Come on, guys. Dig in.
I've been picking around.
All right.
And the flatbread has sumac in it, which is, I was saying to you earlier, sort of sweet and sour. It's called staghorn sumac.
And you made the flatbread, too?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. There you go. And you got to try that, too, because there's a little piece of baguette with the ramp butter that Earhart made. So.
Ah, yeah. All right. Very, you know, I don't like to eat alone. I wish you guys would eat something here.
All right.
1-800-348-2551. As soon as I'm done chewing, we'll get to the calls. Here, let's see. Try the ramp butter.
Right. Yeah, I call it universal butter. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, Earhart's very good with the
Oh,
with the
that's
ranch.
Good, Earhart. Yeah. That's really good.
You can use it on so many different things, on pasta, on fish, on grilled things. You put it under chicken skin, and bake it, and or steamed vegetables you add it under, so seasoning is ready.
I think it would be great on pasta.
Yeah, it's good on so many different things.
All right, to the phones we go. 1-800-348-2551. Lewis in Woodstock.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, you can eat the yellow parts of the dandelions, right? And every other part of it, or what?
I think you just want to eat the greens generally, but...
No, you can eat everything.
Everything. Yeah.
Really? Yeah, you can eat it all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
They make wine out of the tops, right?
Yeah. I once ended up making coffee out of the root, drying it out overnight. It's like a chicory coffee. I was so excited because I pickled, or I actually brined the little flowers, like capers, and then used them like that. And then I got into a whole thing. And then I made the root. I was so excited to try it, and it was incredibly bitter. I had to spit it out. So I maybe need some tweaking.
So there's a trick to preparing some of these things.
A lot of it, yeah, because it can be a lot of the wild stuff.
Are you talking about the dandelion root?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but the yellow tops you could just pick right off and eat or throw in a salad, right?
Yes, you can do that. Yeah, you can do that. But eat also the green, especially if you like bitter things, because it's very good for your liver.
How about the yellow tops? Are they good for something?
The yellow, the flower?
The tops, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you can use them in salad, mix it in.
Nutritionally, you think they're good for your liver too?
I think so. I'm not sure about that, but I know the leaves are very good for
really?
You. Yeah.
I'll be darned.
For some people, they are way too bitter, but, you know, if you not need to eat a lot of them, you mix them in with other greens, then you will be fine.
And I guess that's the trick. Right?
And I like it a little bit bitter.
Lewis, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go over to Mike in Rexford. Mike, you're on.
Oh, hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I have just a quick question about mushroom collecting, which you alluded to earlier. I know, you know, it's popular in Europe, but not so much in the United States, at least, you know, in the Northeast. And I was wondering if you happen to know the reason for that. Do we have, like, poisonous look-alike mushrooms here that are dangerous, or is it just like a lack of local knowledge and tradition, or what?
I think it has a lot to do with tradition, because people in our area, they're usually very much afraid if they see other people picking mushrooms, and they know only the mushrooms what they can see at a supermarket. And so there is a lack of introduction to it. And if sometimes I get a lot of chanterelles, what is a very good high-priced mushrooms, I would like to give it to a supermarket in Great Barrington. They would refuse to take it because they think they cannot sell that. So that is there is a lack of information and communication.
Are there laws that say, local laws or state laws that say mushrooms have to be go through a vetting process?
No, that is not the case. But one thing what I would suggest is always, if you go on different properties, ask for permission that you not run into problems, and sometimes maybe you can get even arrested
if
you do that. Sometimes. And another thing for mushroom pickers, very important, never pick mushrooms in plastic bags or bags like that. And
why?
Always use baskets, what is a little bit open, the spores fall out, you run around the woods, and you make sure you spread more spores out, and eventually you get more mushrooms. And also, if you see a lot of mushrooms, don't take them all. Leave always a couple left, so it's better for reproducing.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I used to work with a French chef who said in France, you can go to the pharmacy and show them your mushrooms, and they tell you, oh, you eat this one, you don't eat this one.
Oh, really?
So culturally, that's a lot different than here.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, try taking that into the big box pharmacy over here and see what happens. Yes, you'll be seeing the officials very quickly. Mm. Let's go to Joanna in South Hadley, Mass. Joanna, you're on.
Great show. When I was growing up in the 50s in Western Mass, we used to have puffball mushrooms pop up all over the lawn.
Very good.
Yeah, mainly the size of a golf ball, but some grew to be as large as a grapefruit. And, you know, my father would slice them up and we'd saute them in a little butter, and they were fabulous. I never see any puffball mushrooms. Yeah, do you ever see them?
You can find them, especially in areas where farmers raise cows, like dairy production. Yeah. And the biggest puffball what I ever found was in Germany. It was 22 pounds.
Wow!
Wow.
So, and it was gigantic. And even it was very good. When you get puffballs, make sure they are also in the middle totally white. And then they are very safe to eat, and you peel off the skin, what is called glepra. You can peel it off almost with your fingers, so the skin should be peeled off. And you slice them maybe inch thick. You season salt and pepper, put it in flour, put it in egg wash, and then in breadcrumbs, and then bake it like a schnitzel. People think, oh, this is very tender meat.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much
for
the suggestions.
Welcome. You're very welcome.
Thanks, Joanna. We appreciate the call. And by the way, you know, if you're listening at home and you've never tried this, especially with regard to mushrooms or some of these things that could potentially harm you, just remember these guys are really experienced at this. And if you have questions at all, ask somebody. And don't just take the first internet resource you see. Look at several. Because, you know, believe it or not, there's some bad information on the internet. It can be found. Mm-hmm. So always be careful. A number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Jim, I don't know if you brought this, but this dark green paste, you didn't tell me what that was.
That's Steve's.
That's a nettle pesto.
Cool.
That's a stinging nettle. Yeah. It's just like almond, grana padano cheese, olive oil.
Nice.
Yeah. And a
little bit garlic, no?
Little garlic, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's just like, you know, any pesto, basil pesto, you know, just make it with nettles.
Yeah. And so it's a dangerous job getting this stuff?
You got to wear gloves.
Really?
And long sleeves, yeah.
And then how do you make it so that it doesn't sting after
you
eat
it? Once you cook it, they have like little burrs on them that fall off and or disappear.
And that's really delicious.
Yeah.
And it goes great with this homemade bread.
Yeah, flatbread.
Yeah, it's really delicious.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones we go. 1-800-348-2551. We talk foraging today with Earhart Wentz, Stephen Browning, and Jim Gopp. Over on line four, it's Jeff in New Jersey. Jeff, you're on.
Yes. What type of foraging might be available in the wintertime when the snow is on the ground up here?
Good question.
I do. The only thing I can think of in the winter is like juniper berries.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Oyster mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
they can be out, but sometimes they may be frozen over and over. So then probably it's not good to pick them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh. So there is not.
I have a friend of mine that makes dandelion wine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ugh. I mean, oh, really?
I never had the pleasure to try it, but...
I
did.
I won't.
No, I'm sure your friend's is very good.
They sweeten it a lot, right?
Yeah.
Pardon me.
They need a fair amount of sugar. Yeah.
I've had a couple bad experiences with that, Jeff, so...
I've heard that a lot about people with dandelion wine.
Yeah. Not too tasty.
Yeah, and a good hangover. Well, maybe not a good.
Thankfully, I didn't drink enough to have a hangover. Hey, Jeff, thanks a lot for the... Go ahead.
He's known for his good taste, by the way.
Who is?
My friend is not known for his good taste.
Ah, well, there you go.
Don't tell him that.
Hey, thanks for the call, Jeff. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Bye now. 1-800-348-2551. Now here comes the producer again, stealing more food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. This one came in via email. Gentlemen, we've actually stopped harvesting the ramp leaves altogether and eat garlic mustard instead. It's invasive and just as good. Well, Jim, you were talking about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's very bad because it lets off a toxin in its roots, so it kills everything around it, and especially the beneficial fungi. Because underneath the soil, down in like the humus there, the really rich soil, there's a whole connection. It's like a highway of different plants communicating with one another. So when you have that poison down there, it kills that connection. And, you know, this time of year, it's starting to go to seed, so it drops the seed, and the only thing that grows around it is itself, so it self-propagates. So absolutely, the more that you can pick, you go into different places that are protected pieces of land, they tell you if you see it to rip it out by its roots as much as you can.
Yeah.
So.
All right, back to the phones we go. Carrie in Plainfield, Mass. Hello again, Carrie, you're on.
Hi, Ray. I got a question for your guests. Now, for years I've been picking mushrooms, and my favorite to pick are the chanterelles, and in September I go out for the hen of the woods. And I wonder if your guests pick those too, and
what
their favorites are.
My favorite, I would say, is the chanterelle, the porcini, and the black trumpet. And if I get a hand on lobster mushrooms, I like them a lot too. So,
had you ever picked the chicken in the woods?
Yes, I do. I do that too. But if you pick them, make sure they are very juicy and very tender.
Right.
If they're woody, forget it.
Yeah.
I got last year one ash tree. It was not bearing for 3 years. I got 75 pounds.
You brought me a lot of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Steve got some of them.
Yeah.
And the other went to New York City. So.
Yeah, the hen in the woods, they're an interesting mushroom. They get huge sometimes.
I know, but on a hen, some people, they can get also sick on them. And even I have a friend who picks a lot of them, and he is Italian, and each time he eats them, he gets stomach aches.
Oh, well then,
but,
oh, really?
Don't do that.
Yes. But he cannot stop eating that, and then he has stomach aches for 3 weeks.
Sounds like an illness.
I don't know why he's doing that. He likes maybe the pain.
Well, I'm not going to pick those where he gets them.
That's a good plan, Gary. Yeah. Yeah. Smart man. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Yes. Bye now.
Thank you.
1-800-348-2551. All right, Jim, you brought in this enormous triceratops-looking mushroom. What is it again?
So this is called the pheasantback mushroom. But Erhard, what's the other name for it?
Dreiezettel. Yeah. And it's quite an interesting mushroom. It's very underappreciated here. And it's very good for pickling, maybe with Japanese or Asian spices in, and it calls a dried saddle, like probably the saddle from a horse.
It does look like a saddle, yeah.
So that's why.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a pretty substantial mushroom. Is there any way you could soften it up, maybe get some butter in there and make it like a steak?
Well, you know, the funny thing about this, we were just talking, Steve and Erhard and I, as we were driving down last night, I actually sliced some up and I cooked and I braised it for a long period of time, because traditionally you think braising it, you know, a piece of meat, it breaks it down. For some reason, it seemed to get tougher.
Oh, really?
So, you know, I always defer to mushrooms to Erhard because he's, you know, kind of in our area, like the king mushroom picker.
Yeah.
So we were talking about it and he was saying it has to be. Don't act like it's not the truth over there.
All right, yeah.
But it's
demures.
You want to get it. You want to get it when they're young.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is pretty big. But
we're not going to eat that right now, right?
No. Well, do you want to?
No. I think it's big enough you could smack someone around with it, though. It's pretty. All right. Back to the phones. James in Hudson. James, you're on.
Hi. Yes, I have two questions. I'm sorry. One, is there a really good book you can recommend on which mushrooms are good to eat and you can find? Because I've a friend with a property, and I swear there were morels growing on her off of a tree stump, and I swear they were very good, but I didn't eat them because I didn't know.
Smart.
And the other thing is, what's the best way to clean a mushroom?
Okay, I would recommend get couple books, not only one book. So there are a couple books about northeastern mushrooms, so right. I would like to get that. And mushrooms, they can be just roughly washed in water, but you need to dry them also, because mushrooms, they have over 90% of water, and if you cook them, saute them, so the water evaporates, and even you wash them in water before, you will still get that flavor, but very often people say, no, you should not wash them, you maybe pet
them.
They
can turn soggy. They can turn soggy very.
Yeah, if you have very soft mushrooms, you should not do that with them. Yeah, very often morels, they have so much dirt on a base, you need to scrape it off, and maybe with a brush, you need to wash it off a little bit. So. Okay.
Thanks, James. We appreciate the
call. Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks for answering my question.
Can you ever sun dry a mushroom like you would with a tomato?
Yeah, I believe you can. You can make a rack, pretty much like a homemade rack with some fine mesh.
I would say that will be not work in our area because we have too high humidity.
Yeah, that's
it. Again, that is maybe I warned you before the show that I can't even make toast. So,
So New Mexico, that is probably good for us, but I don't know there are mushrooms there.
All right, what did you just give me, Jim?
So that's Erhard's pickled chanterelle mushrooms.
All right, let's give it a shot.
It's delicious, Erhard.
Oh, it is delicious. Mm-hmm. It is delicious. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's really, really tasty.
Yeah, super. Thank you.
All right, let's go over. I'll eat some more. Let's go over to Gary in Poughkeepsie. Gary, go on. You're on.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Very good.
I got a question. Hi. Question about I hear you talking about ramp butter. I just come in the middle of this. How do you make ramp butter?
Oh, God, it's so good, by the way.
So,
so good.
I tell you my recipe, what is very simple. You put one part rams on a scale and three parts of butter. So 3-1, that is my measurement, what I do.
Gotcha.
And you only add salt. So you chop up the rams a little bit with a knife, then you put them in a food processor, and you leave, you add softened butter to it until everything it's combined. And you season only with salt and nothing else. And then you put it in a dish or wherever you would like to have that. You can freeze it very well. I know somebody who found after 3 years ramp butter in a freezer and it was like you just made it.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, wow.
So it holds very well. And I also call it universal butter because there are so many uses for to use this butter.
Amazing.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And Gary, I got to tell you, if you do it right, it's really amazingly good. It's really good.
I'm sure it is. There's so many ramps along a trail. I walk along a stream here, and I get so many ramps, you know.
Well, remember the rule, though. Earhart was talking about the rule as far as...
Cut them above ground.
I think the butter stretches it a lot, too, mm-hmm. so you can...
Yeah.
Get all the most flavor out of, like, the littlest ramp, in, mm-hmm. in a sense.
Right.
All right, Gary, right. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Just one other thing. There was some hen of the woods on this one dead log, like, 2 years ago. There was so many of them. Last 2 years, there's been none at all. They're just gone.
That is normal, but check out the tree again, because maybe this year you're very lucky.
Okay.
They don't bear every year.
Hmm. Ah, okay. And morels are my famous... elusive mushroom. My favorite, I mean. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, guys, thank you very much.
You're very
thank
welcome.
You.
Very
yeah, we appreciate welcome. It. Let's take a break here. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We talk foraging today with Stephen Browning, Jim Gopp, and Earhart Wendt. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Spirit House Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Fleury Lumber, Route 10, East Hampton, providing advice and assistance for projects small and large. Items such as Benjamin Moore paints, hardwood flooring, Anderson windows, Trex decking, tools, lumber, hardware, fleurylumber.com. Manny's TV and Appliances, family-owned since 1977, now offering olive oil from his vineyards in Crete, available at Atkins, River Valley Market, Randall's, Foster's, and Big Y grocery stores. Manny'sOliveOil.com. Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 30 years. QFCC.com. And TJ's Taylor Rental and Party Plus, two locations, Route 9 in Hadley and Route 202 in South Hadley, providing tool and equipment rentals for homeowners and contractors. TJ'sTaylorRental.com.
Vox Pop, it's a Food Friday on WAMC just before the fun drive begins, don't you know? It starts on Monday morning at 6 a.m. The lockbox in operation. Only have about $19,000 to go, and we'll reach our challenge of $375. If that happens before the fun drive, we'll get another $17,500. Two huge challenges to make that incentive. And either way, the fun drive begins at 6 a.m. on Monday. We hope you're with us. We are enjoying some foraged food today. And boy, I got to tell you, this is not something that I ever grew up even. It was not on the radar in the Graff household at all. And now this is the second show we've done on this, and it's the second time I can say everything that we have had has been amazing.
Oh, great.
It's really great. Jim Gopp is here, Stephen Browning, and Earhart Wendt, and back to the phones we go. Angela in Sheffield, you're on.
Hey guys, it's Angela.
Hi, Angela.
Hello.
I say that's where
Hi.
I live.
Do you know her?
I think you know me, yeah. I'm calling because I wanted to just add some a note to the dandelion conversation. I have been making dandelion flowers as fritters the last few years when they first come up, of course, not in a landscaped area, so not where someone's spraying their lawns, but right. We pick dandelion flowers, my children and I, and we dip them in a quick batter of flour, salt, olive oil, and a little bit of mineral water, and then fry them in olive oil, and they eat them by the boatload.
Wow.
The one thing that I did hear, and they're delicious, and they've been a hit with other people I've served them to, is that one thing I heard, though, and I'm not sure if it's an old wives' tale, and I don't know if any of you can speak to this, is that if you eat too many of them, they say that you have hallucinogenic dreams.
Really?
No, so I've been trying. I've been aiming for that. However, I don't think
Now, wait a minute.
But I just wanted to share that recipe because it's so easy and it's so delicious. It has a slightly bitter taste. And, you know, as usual, anything fried in olive oil and batter is delicious.
Yeah, you really can't lose.
You can't lose. Yeah. Wow. So, but thank you. This is a really great show. I'm really excited to hear all three of you talk about your experiences and some of the recipes that go along with it. So,
Very cool for your fried flowers.
Yes.
I like it. Yeah, we'll have to have that recipe up there, maybe on the website, Fritters.
That's right.
Paul in Pittsfield. Let's go to Paul. Paul, you're on.
Hi. Wonderful program, by the way. This is foraging. I grew up foraging with my father, and he took me from maple trees, wild asparagus, and all through the summer with berries, and then in the fall we get butternuts. But Mike, I have a question about the lamps. Are they still? Can you still make a lamp butter out of the lamp tops? Because it looks like they've gone by.
Yeah, they're probably really tough right now. But
if you find spots in high elevation, they're probably still good. So the leaves need to be green, and then you can do that.
Okay, great. I'm going to do it today.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
By the way, if anyone lives in central Berkshire County, you go behind Berkshire Life, and the whole side of the mountain is filled with ramps. Yeah. There's probably a million there.
Is it private property, though? I really don't want to condone people.
Oh, no, they let you park there, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah, they even wave hello to you when you drive by.
Well, I'll be darned. Be respectful all the
same. I
hope I yes.
But one more thing that I remember, though. I used to live in Northern California, and there was a family from Vietnam that went up to Marin County to pick mushrooms, and they came back, and the whole family died.
Yikes.
That changed my mushroom picking habit for a while.
What do you think about that, Earhart?
Eat only what you know for sure.
Well, they,
that's right.
Well, thanks, Paul. We appreciate it. You were going to say?
I was thinking, I've heard stories like that, and sometimes there's mushrooms in different continents that kind of look similar.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you, I've heard that with, Asian countries too, and then there's some that you can eat in China, and then you come here and they're totally poisonous.
That is in Europe too, because the Russians, they can eat the Amanita, the poisonous one, the destroying angel. Mm-hmm. They can eat it in Russia. If they go to Germany, they die.
Really?
They die very bad, and it takes quite some time.
So again, this is the really tricky part about foraging mushrooms.
If you go, you need to know what you pick, and you need to know the poisonous ones too.
What I do is I I know the ones I know, and then I'll add maybe one a year and be like, I'm going to look for that now and get good at that one.
Now, how do you add it? Just randomly,
I'm gonna look for that.
Russian roulette?
Yeah, I'm going to start looking for this mushroom now, and you got to be particular.
Careful. Marge in Stratford. Marge, you're on.
Hi. We have a lot of milkweed growing around here, and I've been trying to find out how to cook it. You cook the leaves, you just cook the roots.
So what I know, this it's funny that you mentioned this, because this year I've decided that I'm going to start doing it. I've been picking a lot of asparagus this year, and the field that I've been working in is just loaded with milkweed. From what I understand, if you pick up a basic foraging book, especially the East Coast, northern, northeast stuff, you'll see the flowers that develop later on. They're sort of like these spiky sort of teardrops. Later on in the fall, they start to, go to seed and they crack open and they float away. You want to get them while they're young. It's sort of like the consistency of cactus. It's very, it's sort of sticky in a way. So from what I understand, pan frying them in a basic batter, dredging them in flour and frying them like that, that's the best way to consume them. I don't think you can eat the leaves, though.
Poison?
No.
I believe so. Much like rhubarb leaves are poisonous.
So you want to be, I guess there should be one resource, one sort of Encyclopedia Britannica resource where they could say, hey, don't eat those leaves, man. Yeah. You will die.
Yeah, another thing too.
I always got Foxfire books and Putting Food By, all of these great books that should show you how to do everything, every step, but it doesn't.
For sure. And
so
also,
there you go, guys. Write a book, guys.
Yeah. In your area, be on the lookout, too. Just do a Google search. There are several foraging walks where there's experts that take you on through the woods. And I always find the most helpful way is to interact with somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yes.
Okay. Marge, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Bye now. Cheryl in Massachusetts. It's a vague sort of geographic location. Where are you in Massachusetts?
Hi, sorry. I'm in Western Mass.
Nice to have you on the show. You are
Cheryl.
On.
Thank you. This is a great show. I am so glad I was able to listen today. I grew up with a grandmother and then my own mother who used to go out into the woods and pick everything and come back and make medicines and foods and salads and everything else. And it was wonderful. And my one...
Oh, we lost you, Cheryl. Okay, go ahead.
I make dandelion jelly, which is wonderful. It's it takes an awful lot, and I'm always hitting up all my friends who have organic farms and stuff. But it's a regular jelly consistency, but it's almost like honey. Mm. The taste is so amazing.
But isn't it very bitter?
No, no, because you make it like regular jelly, so you're adding, you know, sugars or sweetener. But it's wonderful. It ends up tasting like honey.
Are you using just the flour when you make the jelly?
Just the flour.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, no greens whatsoever. So that's also why it takes an awful lot of flours, because you pull the whole yellow part right off of the whole stem and leave everything else behind.
Beautiful. Sounds delicious.
But it's wonderful. I also make violet jelly in the spring from wild violets. The violets that are out in the backyard. Amazing.
Yeah, you know, it's really nice. Wonderful. You should try lilacs. Are a little bit past now, but maybe next year try those. They make a fantastic jelly and syrups.
Ooh, I've never done those.
Yeah, I've made a lot of cocktails with dandelion syrup.
Oh, really?
And then you shake things into it. Same thing with knotweed. Nice. You can do that.
Knotweed cocktails?
Yeah.
What do you mix with it?
Basically, it's good with gin. So you get like that like a gin fizz sort of feel to it.
Well, you had me at gin.
Yeah. Now, lemonade's good, too.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And this isn't exactly foraging, but I'm sure you must cook with scapes also, garlic scapes.
Totally, absolutely.
Oh, scapes. I can't wait for them. Yeah.
Soon, yeah.
Wonderful stuff.
Cheryl, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Earhart, what is this candy-like thing that I've been noshing on here?
That's Jim's.
Yeah, so that's
Jim.
That's Japanese knotweed.
It's great.
Thank you. Yeah.
So it's really tasty.
Cooked basically in a simple syrup, equal parts water and sugar. You can do this with anything, with rhubarb, just regular orange zest. You cook it till it's nice and tender, and then you put it into an oven. It's about a 200 degree oven for about 45 to 50 minutes. And I put lemon zest in there, orange zest, bay leaf. And you get a nice little snack, you know?
I'm getting kind of addicted to it. Now, if I ate all of them, would I hallucinate, or as someone else mentioned?
Well, I don't know. Let's try it, Ray. I think it'd be fun.
Well, there's 9 minutes left in the show. I think I'll have to eat very quickly. You know, on second thought, let's skip it. Mark in Conway, Mass. Mark, you're on.
Yeah, hey, great show. Thanks for taking my call. I'll be quick. A couple of things. A gentleman called earlier about winter foraging. One of the things that I like to do, I do a lot of mushroom picking and foraging, is I don't know if you've ever heard of sumac aid. You take the red tops of the sumac, staghorn sumac, and you crush them in cold water, not hot water because it'll bleed the milk of the sumac out, and you crush them in cold water and let it leach out for a while and then put a little sugar in there, and it tastes just like pink lemonade.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun thing to do in the winter. And also, milkweed. You can eat milkweed. I eat it all the time. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's perfect. You pick the top two leaves that they're semi-closed. Uh-huh. You pick those. You steam them once to get the milk out really quick, and then steam them again, and then just put some vinegar. Eat it any way you want to eat a green.
Wow.
So, yeah, you can eat them. And the pods as well, as on the milkweed pod, as long as they're young, you can deep fry those, too.
Wow. Nice.
Now, it's funny. On the first show we did, there was some controversy about this as well.
I think you're right. I remember that now about milkweed. Right.
And so,
I don't know. I've been doing it forever, gentlemen, and I've never been sick, and it's great.
And you're still alive.
Still alive. Unless I'm hallucinating, maybe I ate too many dandelions.
You know what? I think that's the word of the day. Mark, thanks a lot for the
thanks,
call.
Thanks, Mark.
Appreciate it. Let's go over to Marco in Kingston. Great. Marco, you're on.
Hi there. How are you, gentlemen? Great show.
Thanks.
Very good. Thank you.
Ray, I'm very jealous of you right now.
That's good, man.
For, yeah, I'll bet. Erhard, wie geht's?
Gut geht's. Danke.
Yeah.
Wer ist... Wer?
I am a full-blooded Italian, and I want to know if porcini mushroom grow in this country.
Yes,
especially where we are in New York State.
Yes, they do. They do. But last year, it was not great. I think 3 years was my best year. So I got, in a very short time, probably 20 pounds of them.
Mm.
So all perfect little ones. But I need to tell you, they don't have that same flavor like in Europe. In Europe, they're more intense in flavor. But they are still a great, great mushroom. And it's a great mushroom to dry.
But if you're looking for them in books, they would call them bolete, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen.
You're very
great
welcome.
Show.
Thank
you.
Welcome.
Thanks, Marco. Over to Oksama in Saratoga.
Hello. I grew up in Soviet Union, and we used to go mushroom picking all the time.
Okay.
And I remember I personally only pick mushrooms that I knew about, like lobster mushrooms and slippery jacks and stuff like that. But my grandmother, you know, picked some mushrooms that sometimes she wasn't sure because sometimes they disguise themselves as a good one, but they could be a bad one.
Yeah.
And so she used to put them in hot water, and if the water turns bitter in a couple of minutes, then they're bad, so she wouldn't use them. Is that true? Have you heard of that?
You know,
about that?
I never heard about that story, but probably it's true because they are bitter boletes or mushroom who are bitter. So, and if you have one bitter bolete in a very good mushroom dish, you can throw everything away. You cannot eat that. But very often people also put silver in a mushroom dish, and when the silver turned blackish, they thought that it's poisonous. This is actually humbug, so that is not true. But with that bitter, I could imagine that could work, but eat only what you know for sure, so to be on a safe side.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
you're welcome. Thank you very much for the call. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. It is a Food Friday. It has been a good time today. Jim Gopp, Stephen Browning, and Erhard Wendt, and Eric in the Hudson Valley. Eric, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was calling about the black trumpet mushrooms. I like to collect those, and you had mentioned before, somebody had mentioned before about sun-dried mushrooms. Those are ones that I actually, because I was able to find so many, I like them. That was one way that I had kept some, is I made them like actually in a dehydrator them, and then put them with the soup, or even if you like crumble them up once they're dehydrated, you can you know, add them to top something.
Yeah, you can make a powder out of them when they're dehydrated. So it's actually a very great mushroom, and also you can saute them with butter or with oil. I like to use usually grapeseed oil, and put maybe shallots in, saute them in this, and then until the water evaporates, and then you can put them in little freezer bags when they're cold, and you can store them in a freezer. And it's also a great mushroom to put in, to blend into a butter sauce. It gives this very nice color to it, and so it's, and also a friend of mine who is a great mushroom forager too, John Wheeler. He uses that in vodka. Mm-hmm. So he put couple dried black trumpets in, and it has actually a very, very nice taste to it. Usually I don't like vodka at all, but then if I visit him, he always serves it, and I like it a lot.
Isn't it like an apricot sort of a nose?
Yeah,
it's delicious.
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
It's probably one of my favorite mushrooms. I didn't know that they were so good until I just stumbled upon them.
No, they are very good.
Yeah. Mm.
You're right on that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. We appreciate it. So
thank you.
We have black trumpet and vodka. What did you put in gin, Jim?
Japanese knotweed.
Okay, and what does that taste like?
Sort of like rhubarb, really. It's right in the rhubarb family.
And so do you chill it and shake it, or how do you do that?
So basically, you'll make a syrup out of it. You'll chop up the knotweed. You make a simple syrup, equal parts sugar and water, and basically cook it till it's nice and soft, and you puree it and let it sit to sort of infuse like a tea, and then strain it, and then you would definitely chill it, shake it with some, and you really just hit it off with a little bit of like tonic water, sparkling water, so it gets that fizziness going on.
Yeah.
And a little bit of gin.
I'm thinking maybe some ramps, ground, perhaps dried, around the edge of a martini glass. Mm-hmm. Nice dry gin martini might be nice. Maybe in place of an olive or a Gibson, in place of a cocktail onion.
Absolutely, yeah. And you could actually even pickle the bulb of the ramp and use that in place of the cocktail onion.
And then you can add a little bit of this pickling liquid, and then you call it dirty martini.
Very nice.
You see, now we have a whole other show here, and we're out of time.
All right,
gentlemen,
next year.
Thank you for being here. Support comes from Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harrells.com. Planned Parenthood, Mid-Hudson Valley, providing sexual and reproductive health and education services in Dutchess, Orange, Ulster, and Sullivan counties for over 80 years. PPMHV.org. Poughkeepsie Farm Project, connecting food, farm, and community. Organically grown CSA shares still available for the full season, June through mid-November. Farmproject.org. And Apex Solar Power, Queensbury, New York. Locally owned, installing solar panels, solar hot water, solar pool heating. ApexSolarPower.com for information.
Thanks again to Jim Gopp, Stephen Browning, and Erhard Wendt for being with us today. Thank you all for calling. Great calls. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you being with us all week. We hope you are with us next week for the Fun Drive, which begins at 6 a.m. on Monday. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Barb King took your calls. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Have a good weekend. Rest up. The Fun Drive is coming. Stay tuned now for a news update.